Galli means rooster in Italian, but you can call me a dirty bird.
I'd rather act like Kathy Hilton after a denied conga line than Lisa Rinna on any given day of the week.
Amen to that. I think that is, you know, our nation can come together over important, you know, spiritual concepts, political ideals. And one of the ones I think the majority of us feel is that tagline.
Don't mess with my Kathy. Uh-uh.
I mean, well, listen, you know, because I texted you, I'm dying to hear your thoughts on Beverly Hills, as well as those other franchises that are on TV. So you guys, it's Andy's Girls. It's episode, I don't know. I think it's 357. That could be wrong, but this guest is nothing but right. You know him as a New York Times bestselling author behind the books I Can't Date Jesus and I Don't Want to Die Poor and many other things you can Google because, listen, he's the best. Welcome back to Andy's Girls, Michael Arsenault. Michael, how are you?
I'm so happy to be back. Oh, I have so much to say.
I mean, I know that we've been trying to sync up for a minute, yes. So I am so excited about this, for this, energetically. There's nothing I need more than to talk to you right now, so I'm so excited. Truly, I feel like the endorphins are raising spiritually and otherwise. But before we dive in, how are we doing? How's LA? What's the vibe? What's the energy? How are you feeling?
A lot better. I like LA. It's been a long year. I don't want to bring it all down, but just like a lot of, actually, no, I feel like I'm coming around. I'm remembering why I came here and I'm actually really enjoying myself again. So it's nice. It was starting to feel like this season of like Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. It just kept going and going and going and got a little dark, but now it's better. Hi girls.
I mean, how much of that is attached to the experience of living in LA or just dealing with the difficulties of life or that yes. being intertwined?
It's life. Life follows you wherever you go. I will say LA has been really good for me to deal with like the frustration parts of life, like grief mm-hmm. and the plague ongoing and just mm-hmm. the economy crashing or all this other nonsense. Well, a TV development is life sucking. I think I told you that.
Yes.
I think that might be part of it. Like I like to go hike. I love to listen mm-hmm. to you while I'm hiking. It's different Ooh. Than listening to you on the train. What about people kicking me in the head?
Oh, God.
But no, I'm good. I'm good. LA is really good to me.
I don't know. You know, I often think as a New Yorker, get me the fuck out of here, which is the right. thing that I think all New Yorkers can bond and stand behind, regardless of whether or not we actually really want to. But I am one of those people who gets like seasonal depression in the summer.
Yes.
Like I am that person where something about it, like unrelated to any kind of like physical health stuff, there is an energy about it because I feel like everyone is supposed to be happy
right.
that makes me feel sad. And I wonder if LA would do that to me.
I could see that, but I think, I mean, I'll say this is my second time in LA. I think I might have given more into that the first time, being mm-hmm. a little bit older, being in a different headspace and seeing LA for what it is kind of based on my experience, because LA is different things for people, but I think I'm calmer now, or at least really work to be, and I try to be in a happy space because I have struggled with depression. I understand. I think the place I'm where I'm at in my life now, LA is much, it's hard to be angry when it's so sunny, but that doesn't mean there's not that expectation. I think I think when you look around LA, as beautiful it is, you see a lot of people struggling on the street. Mm-hmm. So I never lose that kind of sight of like how hard things are. But I think when I look up and I see how pretty and sunny it is, it does kind of push me and motivate me. But if you're in a different space in your life, that actually might just get on your nerves. But personally, I don't want to be cold and dark at like 4:30 in the morning. Like, cause some of my friends that have moved here, they miss New York and I get that for them, but I don't miss it. like I enjoy New York, but like, I'm not in a rush to go back. I'm good. I can go to work, but like, bye. It's cold. I don't want it.
I mean, the New York winters are very dark and problematic.
And the rats. I heard Eric Adams like declare war, but like, I'm good. We're on a pill.
He held his latest press conference against rats, probably outside Casa Cipriani or, you know, Zero Bond or whatever, whatever private club he was on his way into.
I would not be shocked if he made, if he didn't make an appearance on the rebooted Roni. I feel like he'll be there in some capacity. He's exactly that type.
Could our New York City mayor be a friend of on the Real Housewives of New York City reboot?
If he could, he would. I don't have a doubt in my mind. If he could, he would.
I mean, so much of New York is about, you know, as Jules Aaron discussed during the first season of New York, the idea of society and running in a fabulous circle of people or whatever. But what Eric Adams is interested in and what people are interested in with Eric Adams is sort of a heightened version of, or a more clarified version, I think, of what a lot of people felt toward Michael Bloomberg, like the idea of status symbol. And with Michael, because of his huge success, obviously, with Bloomberg and everything else, I think he had always been a status symbol, regardless of how you feel about his politics. And then when he became mayor, it was like, oh my God, versus Eric, who's really seen through the mayoral title only, which is an interesting kind of energy I could see some housewives try to explore.
Eric Adams is like Morgan Freeman's character in Lean on Me, as a club promoter who becomes mayor. Like, I think it was Meryl when he said, like, Eric Adams, like, what if a club promoter became mayor of New York? That's exactly what I get from Eric Adams. And actually, there's a lot of Jill Zarin energy there. Like, they're very happy to be seen. I could see them both making cameos. Jill probably might not even be invited, but she'll be there. And I like Jill, but it's, you know, you see it.
Oh my God, the Jill. I also feel a little Kelly Clarke Ben Simone energy.
Oh, yes.
Everybody's my friend. You know, I'm everywhere.
Also, what is he talking about? Vegans eat fish.
I mean, listen, so much of this is connected to the idea of home and the idea of like what home represents in pop culture, if anything else, which to me is my kooky crazy way of transitioning a little bit to Beverly Hills, because I think that I need to get your thoughts and like the idea of the perception and personification on family on BH is really interesting. The idea of like home as a person, or maybe as the exact opposite of that, like family, safe space, you know, disconnection and all of that being really interesting. I need to know your reaction. Also, considering your tagline, your reaction to the BH reunion season as a result, what's popping out for you?
I tried to watch in real time every week. I was pretty much into it, but at the same time, it got really exhausting very fast. It's always been dark, so it's not like that big of a, but I will say, I've been so sick of Lisa Rinna for years. And while I'm deeply sorry about the loss of her mother, because Lois seemed like a really very sweet woman, she was very entertaining on camera. Lisa Rinna is a horrible human being who gets joy from toying with people's lives as if she's on the set of Days of Our Lives, and is so bitter and obsessed with maintaining relevance on that show that she's willing to toy with anybody's life for sport. And Kyle Richards should know better. I mean, I get that she has her own issues with family. I really need to go read that old book. But I just feel like, okay, do I think Kathy Hilton lost her shit? Of course I do. I personally don't think she would use fag around poor people. If she were going to use a certain slur, maybe it'd be a Mar-a-Lago or something. I don't know. But I don't know. I mean, her daughter used to, respectfully. But I just don't see Kathy doing that. And I'm pretty sure she, I'm already spinning. I'm sick of Lisa Rinna. The best part of that reunion for me is when Kathy finally showed up. And for once, Lisa Rinna and Erica, to an extent, at least got the energy that they give to everyone else. Because I think Garcelle, while amazing and is kind of, I remember her character Fancy from a Jamie Foxx show. I still call her Fancy because I think cool. And it's not Enzo. Purcell is like a very nice, fancy Haitian woman who I think is very cognizant of how Black women might be perceived on television, or maybe raised to be cognizant of that, and also doesn't want to play into angry Black women tropes, which they would use against her. I think, obviously, considering her children, she said, fuck a lot of that and just went for it. But I think she's never really gone as hard at Erica or Rena or any of them as she could because of that. So it was nice to see Thelma Kathy. Hi, girls. I took that as like very rich white woman code for she wants all the smoke. And she was just there and ready to let Rena have it. That was the best part. Because again, I find Lisa Rena so insufferable, and I really want, I feel like they're going to bring her back, but they shouldn't. I don't think they put enough emphasis on those microaggressions, because when I saw that go watch Dubai comment on Twitter, I knew exactly what she meant. This is a woman who, Harry Hamlin, he seemed cool. I would try the sauce, but at the same time, maybe not, because he dressed like a Nazi for Halloween. She was sitting next to him. Like, this is someone that does this. And I think sometimes, like, I still believe that she said the thing about regards to, like, I don't want to talk about race on the show. There are little digs that Risa Rinna consistently has done throughout the season and throughout the years that, to me, I'm like, do you really want to walk down this path about Kathy and how she acts? Because we can run a list. It's just annoying. I've been wanting someone to do the version of curse her out for that format. That was as close as we're going to get, and I enjoyed it. But I don't want to see her anymore unless they bring Kim back to tag team on her. I'm sick of her. I'll stop now because I know I just went a bunch of different directions. I will say with Kyle, I loved when Kathy told her that she was a martyr. Because I think Kyle has a right to be upset about how Kathy treats her. I think that's fair. But I think at the same time, you've already seen what Rena did to your relationship with Kim, by the way, what you did, because I still found it very, very nasty in the first season when she yelled at Kim about being an alcoholic. That was really, to me, low and disgusting. I never liked that. I just found that very telling about her. But I think now she's cognizant. I've enjoyed Kyle this season for the most part until the end, but I just think you knew what Rena was doing on some level. You could have stopped this. You didn't have to subject your sister to this. I understand that she has a right to be upset with Kathy, but she apologized, and you know that she's antagonizing the situation. You know that she's leaking things, and she's sitting there in front of you calling your sister a monster. I can say all the things in the world to my siblings and actually wouldn't, but you get what I mean. You can say things in an argument, whatever, but I would never let someone, much less on television, talk about them in that way with me sitting right there. I couldn't understand why she couldn't even mouth one thing just to say, don't call her a monster, like, enough, leave it alone. Why does Garcelle have to be the one to speak up for Kathy in that situation, or to point out to you, or actually speak out for you, that Ren is the one hurting your family? Why aren't you saying anything to her? It really irritated me. And Dorit can go, but we'll get to that. Sorry.
Oh, don't you think Dorit did a pretty good job, though, in that? Well, I mean, it doesn't necessarily take away from that, but in that moment, trying to, like, translate to Kyle what was actually going on?
I love that Dorit has showed up. I understand that she was going through a lot, but that actually, the robbery has nothing to do with the fact that at least the last three seasons, Dorit has been very mute. And while I enjoyed those last few moments of the third reunion of a very long and miserable season in some instances, you finally speak up. Girl, where you been? Because I forgot that Dorit used to get the girls together. During the season when they were posting the clips, I was like, oh, right. She had plenty of words for Ms. Erica Jane. She did not care. Dorit is chic. I like that, but like, I don't care. We can find someone else for that. Like, she is neck and neck to me with Cherie on like wasting a season. And in Dorit's case, she literally was dealing with trauma. So I understand some of that. But at the same time, like I said, she's just not been there for a while.
Yeah, and what I feel like is maybe taking place here, we talk so much on AG and within the Bravosphere about the Fox Force and the alliance and like the toxic energy emanating from the idea that I no longer care about what conflict means when it comes to this core group of five and then four. Like, it's only about protection and silence and neutrality is a form of support, and that is only what some of these people want, i.e. Erica, who to me is like using coded language when she says, like, I want my friends to shut the fuck up. Like, that is support to me, is like what friendship means to Erica, which honestly makes a lot of sense when you think about Erica. But putting that sort of aside, I was thinking a little bit about the Fox Force Alliance and how so much of it, I think, leads with Kyle first. Like, the idea of the Fox Force being a sisterhood, the way that she looks at Rinna as a sister, the way that she says to her actual sister, Rinna is also one of us. Like, I consider her at the same level, which I think is really kind of complicated. But then I think about why Kyle stayed silent. And a lot of people are saying it's because she's afraid of Rinna or because of the Alliance. And I'm like, maybe that's what she thinks sisterhood is. Like, watching someone act out and then not pushing back, even if it's against your own best interests on the show.
I think that's fair. I mean, I've heard a little bit about their family dynamic, so I can imagine that plays into it. But I think, I mean, all broken homes are not the same, but coming from my own, I think there is a certain point in your adulthood when you at least, if nothing else, understand that I would like, at least ideally, you would want to treat other people as you would like to be treated. Mm-hmm. So I think in the same way Garcelle pointed out, you would have never laughed about that if this involved your children. I think in the case of Kathy, Kyle would have never put up with that. We would never hear the end of half of what was going on. In fact, it probably would run for like 3 seasons. I just think in that moment, even if you think that's what sisterhood is, which I hope you work out in therapy.
Yeah,
on the side, at least, come on, like you're watching it, or I guess she stopped. You know that you wouldn't like if this was done to you. Forget the relationship. I mean, she's so, I think I'm back and forth with Kyle. I don't want to say I was a Camille Grammer truther, but I always felt like Camille got a very raw deal in that first and second season with Kyle. Just gonna say that, but. I didn't mean to make it justice for Camille. another Republican I have a soft spot for. It's Nicole Wallace, Kathy Hilton, I think Camille Grammer. That's about it.
Oh my God. I love Nicole.
I just think, come on, Kyle, like, you know better. Like, maybe she doesn't know, maybe to your point, maybe she doesn't know better in terms of a sister, but I'm just like, would you put up with this? Would you, like, I'll stop, but I enjoy Kyle. That's all I meant. It's just, I don't understand how in that moment she couldn't say one thing. And even just understanding her sister, like maybe there's no real appeasement, but whatever. I think I lose it. I don't understand how in that moment she still managed to make it literally all about her.
Well, I think a part of it is because she feels like Kathy hurt her and deserves what's coming and at her. I think for Kyle, she's maybe thinking, like, you treated me like shit. This is your turn now. You know, I don't, or maybe this is like the cost of doing business by being on Housewives, that you have to bear the brunt of a certain level of chaos and conflict. But
yes.
I don't know why she can't see that it crossed a line.
Right. I think everybody, I mean, if she's even operating from the mindset that everyone gets a turn, fair enough. But in this context, this is literally your family, your niece, which by the way, the only reason before Housewives we knew who you were is because you appointed yourself as a Hilton family spokesperson. Mm-hmm. So if your niece is liking tweets suggesting that you set her mom up, at what point do you not, like, everyone gets a turn, but do you have to play such an inactive or active or plot a role in it? I just feel like, yes, but honestly, that's back to what Kathy was saying. She once something happens to her, that's all she can focus on. She kind of creates the rule whenever it applies to, for her, but like when everyone else, it's like, I don't I'm sorry, I can't get Kyle's card right. I practiced it earlier. sorry, I flopped on that one. I had it earlier.
Well, don't you worry. There's going to be many opportunities, I'm sure.
We're on a pill.
You know, I received so many messages on IG from people being like, listen, I know that you don't fuck with Teddy, but Kyle was on her episode and I think you would find it interesting. And shout out to Bravo Bone Collector on Instagram, who actually transcribed a lot of the episode for
Thank
people
God,
who didn't
want to
listen.
Teddy.
What a public service. But I did listen to the episode today, noting that I was doing other things. So like you guys know my attention level is not at a premium tier. But there were moments that I thought was interesting because she referenced you wouldn't do that to blood in saying how inappropriate it was for Paris and Kathy to be liking negative tweets about Kyle. And I'm just thinking like, Kyle, we're still not getting why they're doing that. It's because of your behavior in the reunion. It's because you equated Rinna to your blood and then stayed quiet. It's like, I'm not even trying to discount her crying and how her sisters might perceive it. I'm just saying, like, when someone is calling your sister evil, what does it say that you feel like your role is to stay quiet and then question liking tweets?
And aren't you supposed to be so close to your nieces? I distinctly remember you saying that. And in fact, you said it a few times. Call your nieces, ask what the problem is, specifically before you show up to the reunion, and then watch her do essentially everything that's breaking up your family in real time. If you care that much, I just think that at some point she should have, I would just say I would have handled it differently. And while she thinks everyone gets a turn, sure. Well, Kyle, you're going to get another turn because the public is not on your side. And I know you care so much about that. And I actually saw that she was on 2 Teas in a Pod, but I just can't listen to Teddy Mellencamp. She's a loser. I don't like her. I'm sorry. She's not nice. And she's squirming her way. Girl, we don't want you. And that's another thing about her, Kyle and Crystal. If that's your plan to get her back, we don't want it.
Well, Teddy actually references that during the episode, and they have a good old laugh about the idea that a lot of people, and I've discussed this on AG too, are referencing like how much of your dislike of Crystal has to do with the fact that you feel like she's taken Teddy's spot. And they have a nice little chuckle about it, but I do also think like, man, there's something about the sisterhood that Kyle finds in her relationship with Teddy, which I don't want to take away from. Obviously, they have meaningful roles in each other's lives, regardless of how much I fucking loathe Teddy Joe Mellencamp. Team baby carrots for life. But there is also something about the positioning of how they view sisterhood of like, I am always going to be your translator. I am never going to push back, which Teddy has seemingly applied to the other members of the Fox Force. Again, the idea of this like toxic sisterhood, which doesn't take away from the actual toxicity that is so seemingly obvious in the Richards. It doesn't, sisters, it doesn't take away from how Kathy has treated Kyle and how maybe Kyle has struggled in that role. But I don't know. I think there is an ease to which they're simplifying what's going on, which doesn't make a lot of sense when Kyle is also acknowledging how complicated their dynamic is between her and Kathy. It feels off.
Can I just say, the Fox Force 5 is the show in general, I think, benefits greatly from Erica Jane's life imploding, perhaps the cast in Garcelle and Kathy, but I think the Fox Force 5, just as a unit and a narrative device on the show, is so boring. I don't know if it's been 4 of them, but I don't find their concept of friendship, to your point, to me is so, sisterhood and friendship is so flawed.
Yeah.
It's an alliance. They don't hold other people accountable. They like to bully other women. They really are very one note, and they have been for years. I don't find them entertaining. What I like about Kyle, if nothing else, is that she knows how to at least pivot on the show. Mm-hmm. She is a very great bridge. I still can't see the show really without her. Mm-hmm. In that way, I don't find Lisa Rinna as serviceable for stated reasons. She's evil. Erica Jayne, while I don't even know where to begin. I get her on the show at least for the foreseeable next few seasons. Future, she deals with her stuff. I do hope she opens up a little bit more, but I just think that unit is stale and it's been stale for years. And I'm so sick of them because I think ultimately they're not even that great a group of friends. What I love about Potomac, they all genuinely seem like, well, most of them seem like friends and can call each other out. Even pre-rebooted Roni, in the midst of all that chaos, there was something that connected all of them. But I think what's really been missing from Atlanta for the last couple of years is that they're not really all friends. But when they all had these real relationships, it was just more interesting. Yeah, I just feel like every other franchise I can think of, even when you see these alliances, you'll see them at least call each other out. And this group's inability to do that ever is so exhausting and boring. And like, I can imagine a drain to film around. You could see the exhaustion in Garcelle and Sutton's face. Mm-hmm. As Kathy was like, you know what? It's about time someone else handles them. Like, I'm tired. And just as I'm tired of them. I'm tired of watching them fail to figure out what friendship actually looks like. And it's not entertaining watching them stumble season after season, bully antic after bully antic. Like, even Tamara and Vicky and Shannon were better at like holding each other accountable on some respect. Like, it's just they're just boring to watch because I just find them very, it's just mean and self-important and just like nasty. There's no entertainment value. And I really genuinely hope that Kyle and Kathy figure that out, because I really actually never liked watching her and Kim fight like that on camera. Mm. And watching Kyle in tears, while I do think the martyr critique applied, that wasn't pleasant to watch. And I can't see that getting better next season if the current cast is the way it is. I just don't see that. Also, I forgot to say this, I still hate Diana Jenkins. I hate her even more. What a waste. But yeah, I'm tired of watching them. They're not really friends. It's just an alliance. I mean, maybe, I'm sure they think they are, but I don't want to watch it anymore. Where's LaToya Jackson and Brenda Ritchie? Sorry.
I mean, I feel like a lot of what Kyle is doing is complicated because she's literally allowing Rinna to act as her surrogate.
Yes.
What Rinna is saying is, I'm only doing this because you've been so vile to Kyle. And with Kyle staying quiet, because she's crying, because she's in shock, whatever else, she is allowing this kind of battle to continue. And it's just, if Kyle believes that Kathy is a bad person, that Kathy is the devil, that Kathy is evil, I think it's Kyle's responsibility to say that. But she is saying it because she's not pushing back in real time when Rinna says it. And then, in a really uneven kind of post-reunion style, is saying it's so, and actually they mentioned it during the reunion too, is saying that her niece and her sister liking mean tweets is somehow as bad. It just doesn't, it doesn't even out. And it gives Rinna so much power and weight, which apparently Kyle essentially agrees to share.
And that's what's frustrating. Like, clearly you wanted Rinna to be your surrogate. Maybe perhaps what happened is that it got way out of control, right? Went far farther than you thought, but that should have been expected because it's Lisa Rinna. Look how she treated your sister. Look how she treats your ex, how she treated Vanderpump. Look how she treats anyone. I'm so sick of Lisa Rinna. I'm sorry. I don't need it. Put me on pause.
I mean, I completely agree. And I also think the way that Kyle acknowledges history with toxicity is important. We obviously don't understand the full story, but she doesn't seem as interested in acknowledging Lisa Rinna's toxic history, especially as it concerns her family. And it's that kind of rejection of what we have watched on reality TV, while acknowledging that this isn't all real, what we're watching, that is a contradiction that it's hard to get over or through. I think that's one of many points that I think some viewers are struggling with. Like, you're pretending that this foundation, which is very uneven on one side, is only filled with the best intentions on the other. And that's just quite literally factually incorrect. And you're smarter than that.
Right. I really think the viewers just see through Kyle. I don't know if Kyle sees herself quite just yet, but I'm gonna actually lift him in prayer after this. I hope the summer brings them some kind of peace for my own viewing habits, because they do need to bring Kathy back. So one of the other side has to go. I need my Kathy back.
Do you think that they really will put Rinna on pause? Do you think that's really possible?
No, not now that Kathy's making public demands. No, do you think they'll elevate Kathy? Which I guess that's her choice. She doesn't want to be elevated, right?
I don't think she wants to be elevated. I think she's getting like the max amount of whatever she can withstand plus some. I don't think she has any interest in that, because I think that would also necessitate her needing to involve her family more, which I don't think she's willing to do.
I want them to get rid of Lisa Rinna. I'm not sure they will, but I don't think they can let Kathy go. So I'm curious to see what the most powerful friend of in Bravo history will get to appease her. But I will say, for different reasons, which, by the way, even the morally corrupt Faye Resnick did a better job of defending Kathy than Kyle. It's just really embarrassing. We can't let Kathy go, though. Kathy can't go. I can't lose Kathy. She really kept me going this season. I was waiting for her to pop up. She is the moment.
I'm giving you eyes right now. I didn't know how far and hard this Kathy love went.
She is hilarious, which is why I try to block out the things that might turn me off. I'm like, no. Which, by the way, I see the other side of Kathy Hilton. I watched that Paris Hilton doc. And I watched a little bit of, I watched Paris in Love. I watched all of it. She has another side. I could see her losing her shit. It's just, keep her anyway. No, I'm sorry. She's funny. That is a funny rich woman. I don't care. Bring Kathy back. I'm a slutton. I love fancy.
Oh, Faye. Yes.
Kyle can stay. Erica, I quoted Erica in my second book, and she knows.
Yeah, I read it. I remember. It was in the intro. It was in
I do feel bad now, though. No Diana Jenkins.
Paris is always a good idea. And when I schlep on over to Europe, to my favorite city in the world, I bring with me a few important phrases that I have learned from housewives. C'est bon, chic c'est la vie. Je m'appelle the Countess, n'est-ce pas, Luann? And while those key phrases are important when speaking to any French bravoholic, for other matters of life, that's where Rosetta Stone comes in. Rosetta Stone is the trusted expert for 30 years with millions of users and 25 languages offered, including, of course, French. It features fast language acquisition. It immerses you in so many ways. There's no English translations, so you really learn to speak, to listen, and to think in that language. It's an intuitive process. You pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. J'adore Chris Manzo. Et toi? There's a speech recognition filter which gives you feedback on your pronunciation. It's convenient with desktop and app options, and it's an amazing value. Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership has all 25 languages for any and all trips and language needs in life. That's lifetime access to all 25 language courses Rosetta Stone offers for 50% off. A steal. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, AGs can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today. Today. Conversations around wellness and weight loss can be complicated. There's the Instagram filter we all see on IG and social media, and then IRL. And between $20 smoothies and daily ice baths, everyone is doing the most to hack the health system. But there's a better way. Row. Row provides access to the most popular weight loss shots on the market. Over 200,000 people have already chosen Row to help them lose weight. And you can sign up from the comfort of your own home. No scheduling a doctor's appointment, commute to the doctor's office, and no waiting rooms. The Row Body Program pairs a weekly shot with healthy lifestyle changes, so you can lose 15 to 20% of your weight in a year on average and actually keep it off. Of course, medication must be paired with diet and exercise modifications in order to achieve any stated results. Medication cost is not included in the program. Patients must pay for medication separately. With Row, average weight loss is 15 to 20% in 1 year with healthy lifestyle changes. BMI and other eligibility criteria apply. Go to row.co/andyscrolls. You can sign up today and you'll pay just $99 for your first month and $145 a month after that. Medication costs are separate. That's ro.co/andyscrolls. Sign up today.
But Kathy can't go. I just want to go back to Kathy can't go. I need Kathy there.
You know what I thought was really funny? Someone posted this and I shared on IG, and apologies, I forget which account it was, but Andy said on Radio Andy today, because so many people are asking about Rinna's IG story where she showed a manila envelope that said Aspen receipts.
Oh, yes.
And like she started a conspiracy theory with the creators and pals she has in her pocket to talk about how there's a in the words of Hillary Rodham Clinton, a vast right-wing conspiracy essentially that necessitated the burying the cull of this moment from the reunion because it was just so dramatic and eviscerating about what Rinna had gone through with Kathy and Aspen, and Kathy used her power and ensured that it wouldn't take place. And fucking Andrew Cohen, okay, went on Radio Andy, I think it was today, it had to have been today, and said, listen, what was in the manila envelope was specific to receipts with the Elton John
AIDS
Foundation gala table. And it was, there were moments, huge moments, just in terms of like, I think length of time to talk, that were cut from the reunion because it just wasn't necessary. And this was one of them, which I thought was so fucking funny because of course it had nothing to do with Aspen. Of course she would write on a fucking manila envelope that she has all the tea. And for some reason, it's the one thing she hasn't managed to, you know, share on Instagram stories and then dirty delete. Of course, because it was bullshit. Of course it was. It's Lisa Rinna.
She is late. She's late. Like, I just... I used to actually find her amusing. I have a soft spot for her because my mom made me watch Desperate Housewives. I mean, not Desperate Housewives, Days of Our Lives, when my roommate got possessed by the devil. So I have a little bit of, was she, yeah, oh, was that her name? I can't remember.
I don't know.
One of them. But this is what I mean. Like, this is stale. It's not interesting. Everything's not I heard the clip. I did not know that was the context that she was once again. She's bored. Go. I want her to leave. And I will say, I don't think they'll get rid of her, but I do think she's causing so much trouble outside of the show and alienating so many people. I do wonder if she's doing that work for her, because I get that she has no impulse control, but also like, aren't you 50, 60, learn some, pay somebody to help you. I'm just sick of her. No, she's boring. We don't need her. I feel like find another villain. And I want her to go actually do that Joan Rivers documentary where she was talking, basically trying to, I usually remember the title, Plague Brain, but it's a fantastic-
Piece of Work?
Piece of Work, yes. I thought that was a great documentary about Joan fighting, for clawing her way back to the top for fame. that is Lisa Rinna without most of the talent, but maybe she should find some director to do the same thing with her while she goes, sells diapers, H's, and prints her daughter, whatever. Do anything else besides Housewives. You're boring, it's late, you have nothing to give us anymore. Kyle's friendship alone can't save you, and Kathy is just gonna eat you up the way she did at the reunion, so why do we need to bother anymore? And what she actually did to Sutton, I'm mad at her all over again, was nasty. I'm a slutton, by the way.
You are a slutton, and I love it. I love this slutton journey.
Because they tried, to portray Sutton as the racist. I'm like, that's the only one, if you looked at IG before, that had Black friends. So leave Sutton be. She don't like, and also she has real money. Mm-hmm. I can't afford to be classist yet, but like, come on, Lisa Rinna.
I can't wait until that moment when I can afford to be classist, which will literally never happen because debt sticks to me like I don't know what. I mean, it just follows me wherever I go. It's just, talk about impulse control. On that, I can agree with Rinna because there's always another dress to be had. I mean, I get it.
But isn't that exhausting? Like, the show just ended. You're still on IG. You're still pretending that you're actually doing, like, it's boring. You're boring. Like, you're a soap actress. You've been doing this for decades. You don't have better tricks up your sleeve. Like, I'm bored. She's boring. And Harry Hamlin is a nice man besides that Nazi night. I don't want to go down that road. But, like, go make some sauce for somebody else and keep it off camera. I'm sick of them.
Well, it does go into the complications when Housewives becomes the entirety of your universe, or maybe it's not the entirety of the universe, it's just the majority of it, but you're unwilling to show us that other part. Then this gets really complicated because it's like Housewives Inception. We're staring inside of the world, staring inside of the world, staring inside of the world. And all that's in the middle of it is just like nothingness, right, and chaos. There has to be something else going on. And while we all acknowledge, because it's honestly almost a disclaimer at this point that Rinna has foisted upon us, that she did go through an incredibly difficult and seemingly all-consuming death, the right, loss of a parent, which is for many people, not all, but for many people, that can truly change the way that you see yourself, the way that you see the world, your future, everything. Well, there is a lot of depth and gravity to that, which of course is accurate and true, but like, that's also not the entirety of Lisa Rinna's life. That is a huge part of it, because, and we've seen Lois on the show for years, but like, there are other things here that you are hiding. You can't hide behind Kathy Hilton forever. Otherwise, I don't know, production isn't doing its job.
I really genuinely feel so sorry. Like, I'm dealing with grief, but not that type of grief. I can't imagine what's that's like. I believe her that helped facilitate some of the anger that she used on other people. But I really do think that extends beyond this because she's always had that. I think if anything, even how she was booed at BravoCon, which I need to go to because it's literally, it gives WrestleMania, but for something I actually still like. So, she is feeding off of essentially being, like, to the wrestling analogy, being a heel. She likes being a villain, which I don't actually think is wise for a housewife, because for me, I've never been Kenya Moore hair care. I'm still blocked by her. That's fine. Don't search your name. She's nasty to people, but she was,
I love her.
That's it. She was very pleasant last season. I'm just saying, like, even if Kenya plays the villain on the show, she's funny. She's not, well, she has been nasty, but I don't think her core is to, like, literally just kind of feed off of, essentially, like, giving her coworkers hell in the way Lisa Rinna has enjoyed for years now. It's like, for Rinna, it's gotten worse. And I don't know if the grief is part of that, but she seems angrier and she feeds off of it more, and it's kind of manifesting both on the show when she does Watch What Happens Live, when she like the stories. It's like it's just a bad look. Like, it not only is it not exhausting for me to watch on TV, I actually don't want to see Lisa Rinna go out like this. I'd rather she channel that somewhere else, but because I can't say that it's all grief, but if it is, then it's like it's actually made the worst parts of you that we've seen on TV even worse. And I just find it really unbearable, but I kind of want her to have peace, but just, it's not entertaining. It's just, yeah, it's really, it's a turnoff. Like, it's just like you're a life suck of the show now. And I don't get why a housewife would feed that much off of being a villain, because essentially the audience, some portion of the audience has to be with you for you to work on the show. If you're getting booed when you go to BravoCon to that extent, in the context of someone who apparently allegedly threw out epithets and all that stuff in the crowd is still like, what? It's just take the cue, girl. Like, it's not connecting. I don't know. Does that make sense?
Yeah, of course it does. And I think for Lisa Rinna, she's trying to convince all of us that cruelty is the price you pay for grief.
Right.
And I'm never going to agree with that equation. I think people make mistakes and they fuck up, but it's her constantly trying to disavow her behavior, which makes me think she doesn't like this. When she goes out and when she tells Page Six or whomever after, it was like the WWE and I felt like a wrestler, she's spinning, and I understand why she is, but she's not enjoying it in the way that she wants us to think she is, regardless of her flipping the bird to the crowd. Right. I don't think she likes this. I think she really is trying to dance around the idea that she wants people's opinions to change against Kathy. Like, I think she really wants a reshifting to take place, which just the audience has made their choice. I don't know what you do after that. I think that's why she's increased her hashtag systematic bullying online, because she's still frantically trying to convince people that she wasn't wrong.
Yeah, girl. We're hunky dory. Move on. You failed. You flopped at that. I agree. I see that. I just let it go. It's not working. It's just making you more unlikable to be this antagonistic, obsessed with it.
Absolutely. And speaking of hunky dory, I do want to reshift a little bit, because you dropped a little nugget in my text messages that we might have something to talk about when it comes to Heather and Whitney. And I want to know what your reaction is to the Heather, Whitney, Meredith, Lisa of it all, because a lot of that is friendship as sisterhood, too. And also friendship as, like, we find out as adults that we're family. Like, that is also very complicated and difficult. And I'm curious as to your response to all of it.
First, I truly miss Mary Cosby.
Interesting.
I do think the show needed a little bit of that, but I will say it's better than I thought it would be, because I actually assumed the show would lose me. Heather and Whitney is interesting. I'll say, last 2 weeks. Whitney, I really
like right now.
I really like Whitney. She's really, really sweet, and I'm wishing her well on her journey. But girl, what are you doing? Okay, the abuse situation, horrible. For it to be that bad, that you blocked it out, I can only imagine. I am proud of her for even being willing to share that. I can't imagine how hard that is, and to actively work through it, much less on camera and around people. That said, she is not the brightest. Sweet, sweet person, not the brightest. And so sometimes most of the time, her wires get crossed. It's like, girl, part of your healing and being believed in context of your child abuse has nothing to do with your cousin co-signing a rumor that your homegirl sucked dick for some jazz tickets, allegedly, which I do not believe, because I love Lisa Barlow. Mm-hmm. I just don't see her doing that to John, much less for jazz tickets. But the fact that we're still talking about this, because in that moment you needed to be validated that much, that's another, like, you don't need to talk to Heather, you need to talk to a therapist. Because if you're doing this with other people, that's already like a bad, I mean, healing takes a lifetime, particularly in the context of abuse and trauma like related to it. But that made absolutely no sense to watch. And when Heather let it rip, while it wasn't the most sensitive way of doing it, and this is maybe my own healing journey, I laughed a little bit, because I was like, actually, when I thought they broke up, I was like, oh, I know I'm just going to stand with Whitney, because I always found Heather's obsession with Jen, and because she was nice to me, I'm going to be nice, which we'll get to that. But I was with Heather. I'm actually on Heather's side, because I'm like, girl, her respecting your, you needing your voice to be heard, and you all that has nothing to do with her not remembering a rumor like out of that. And which, by the way, it's a bunch of bullshit people tell me. I might not remember it, or I might, like Heather said, choose to not remember it. That doesn't mean I didn't happen in the moment, but like, I'm not gonna hold on to something that ridiculous, especially when it's designed to be hurtful and nasty. I also don't understand why Whitney brought it up to begin with, other than just to be messy. But when she Heather, I'm like, you're not. I'm like, girl, fast forward, and then I had to go back and finish it. I'm like, I don't want this. Am I a monster like Heather now? I was like, oh, get her, Heather. No, I'm shaking my head.
You're not in any way, but I do think it's like, it's complicated for me in watching this because I really do not fuck with Angie H. It's H, right? Yeah,
oh,
Angie
fair, Harrington. Fair.
There's something about her that rubs me the exact wrong way. And this is no disrespect to Heather, but finding out that like Heather and Angie are really good friends makes me suspicious of Angie because Heather doesn't necessarily like pick great friends or people
evil
to align with. So I'm like watching the Angie stuff and I'm like, ooh, this is like, while I don't disagree with Angie being on camera and being a friend of, there's something about her intentions here that I really don't believe. And when Lisa Barlow very clearly was like, get the fuck away from me, get the fuck away from me, I was thinking, you know what? I would do the exact same thing because this person does not have good intentions. And what they're saying on camera is a way, off camera is a way to get them on.
Yes.
And there's something about this that isn't great.
It's gross. Lisa Barlow, who got me to try Del Taco, by the way, that this taco is actually great. Thank you, Lisa.
Oh,
Barlow.
Great.
Yes.
I love that.
Love her. also, can I just ask, I know she pled guilty late, and I know no one is guilty until proven innocent, but come the fuck on with Jen Shaw. Like, the way they're treating her this season, I do understand Erica, but I mean, she hasn't said Erica's frustration. Erica must be pissed. I would be pissed every single moment of every single day if it were at least brought up to me. You know what I mean? The fact that they were even on a trip for her, I get it. Girl might be going, I mean, she's going to prison, but I'm sorry. I know innocent until proven guilty. I have no faith in the American justice system for several reasons. It rubs the skin. It rubs the lotion on its skin. What the fuck about treating her to some trip? What I love about this, also, this is very telling about Meredith has known this entire time that she was going to prison. Mm-hmm. And when she was explaining to Heather, that's what I meant. Like, I'm not Heather. Whitney.
And Whitney. And yeah, Whitney. Yeah,
Whitney
yeah.
Especially. Oh, he pled guilty. I mean, that's good. Maybe that means she won't go to jail. I'm like, first of all, none of y'all should have been on this trip anyway. You just call it a girl's trip, but not for Jen. When she had, I'm like, twerk that ass. I was like, did the girl that was, what was she? She did one. She did hair and she shook her ass for people. She twerked. Sorry, twerk coach. Forgive me. I don't want to denigrate her position.
Oh yeah, I forget what her name is. Yeah.
Didn't you a few months last season have to get money from your mama, like $1 million? Why do you have what is happening? Not only should you not be on a trip, not to say you know have fun while you still can, I guess, but not that much fun and not a celebration of you. And even how, again, I actually understand Heather's frustration with Whitney, but yelling at her about this trip is supposed to be about Jen. Oh girl, the trip can be ruined for Jen because Jen's allegedly, probably, it seems like, ruined a lot of people's lives. Like, old people, why are we celebrating this woman? I will admit, when I saw Jen twerking at the Lotto concert, I was at the Lotto concert. I was twerking too. I'm a scratch off. I love Lotto. That's one thing. You're not at work. I just feel like, why are we acting like we don't know what's coming? Because they did a lot of invest. I would have actually liked to see more about Mary. They asked harder questions about Mary's church than they ever still have about Jen. I'm like, maybe that comes later, but even that, I'm like, that's actually what I won't say pushed me. And I'm still watching, But when I saw that we were going on a trip with Jen, I was like, do I want to watch this?
There is, for Jen, like this idea that like we, even before she changed her plea, it was like, come on, we were all winking at each other. Like we knew what was going on. And on Beverly Hills, I think that there was a sense of frustration between some of the members of the cast about the ways that the Erica stuff, and by that I mean like the Tom stuff, and Tom was married to Erica, was brought in and could have taken the season down, the franchise down, whatever. I think that there was a lot of understandable frustration about this being the thing, but also the thing that we get yelled at if we, God forbid, dare to discuss it. On Salt Lake, I'm not actually, I think we got maybe a little bit of that last season, but I'm not really seeing that at all right now, which is interesting to me. And my, like, I don't know if this is like a character conspiracy theory, but like, I really do think that the reason that we're not seeing that is because it's not related to a spouse and, you know, like that aspect. But I think it's because they know what's up. I really do. Versus with Erica, which is complicated. Erica hasn't been charged in anything. There are questions of, you know, did you benefit from this, which is currently being litigated in the court. But like, she hasn't been charged again, as I say. But like with Jen, it's like, y'all, like she was the creator and EP of this stuff.
I will say, I don't love the way Erica has spoken about this situation most of the entire time. But even so, I will actually give her a little bit of credit in that whether you benefited from it, you benefited from it is one thing. You didn't actually do it, did you? I go down a big rabbit hole, I get.
Yeah, it's too much.
But Jen, as you said, she is the mastermind. You all have literally have clearly people. When she described her work, I was like, girl, what do you do? You do what? You have all of this, but you rent this house. And what does he do? It didn't add up from jump. And so I think they do know what's up. But I guess for me, it's like, you know what's up. Not only are you not addressing it, we're celebrating her. We're choosing to believe her on camera, perpetuate this innocence. Particularly at a time where a lot of people are suffering, going through things. And I know that's not necessarily the point of the show. It's entertainment and escapism. But I have to be, I will say, I give Heather credit for being flat out, like, you know what? I'm sticking by her because she's a friend to me and I feel like she needs a friend. I don't think I would make that same commitment to someone that hurt people like that unless it's a very heavy, deep friendship, which they do not have based on season one, but okay, that's her choice. But I think the rest of the cast is just as complicit by sitting there acting like, I'm not twerking with some woman that ripped off Granny.
Yes, and the conversation is all built around, are you a good friend to Jen? And it's like, is Jen a good friend to you? Look what was happening behind the scenes. Look at the cost of doing business and showing off her lavish lifestyle. She brought that to you, right? But you are now... Not to say that anyone else is culpable for Jen's crimes, but we're pretending that the real crime here is being a bad friend to Jen.
The one who is actually responsible for that first rumor about Meredith that Lisa Barr went off on and what she assumed was not going to air. I'm like, she's actually the root of a lot of y'all problems. And again, the feds rolled up to y'all job. Y'all were shooting. Y'all at work. The feds show up. You might not be the brightest, but I'm sorry. If the FBI, and it was multiple federal agencies, right. Homeland Security, they showed up to y'all's job at a reality show. And so literally less than a year later, pay that rent. Girl, if y'all all don't get up, what the hell is happening? That blows my mind. I think that's, I'm struggling with that aspect this season. And that's one reason I do wish Mary Crosby was there, because even though I think I wouldn't go to that church, I want to visit it just as, you know, take a selfie. But even if she might not be the person to be questioning people's morality, she would have at least brought it up. Because she was the only one that really did the last season. I just find it so strange to watch. As much as I'm, as interested as I am with the dynamic of bad weather breaking up and Meredith and Lisa, which, by the way, Meredith, you just are mad at Lisa and you don't want to forgive her. Fine. But there's a sanctimonious quality to Meredith that is really draining to watch after a while, because she's also not that interesting. And Meredith's cool. But I was like, I have a gay son. Which, by the way, I'm like, wasn't that an issue 2 years ago? Was the issue that I thought she was mad that she was outed. She was like, we don't know if Brooks is gay. And then it just popped. Didn't that happen the first season? Or was that online? She did it.
I think that there were, I don't remember, to be honest, but I think that there was maybe a conversation, but I again don't remember if it was led by her, but I understand her perspective on this. But like the fact that Jen was making maybe assumptions, I think.
She has a right to take offense. I only was brought up to say, I mean, Lisa Barlow said a lot of shit. That would be hard for me to get over, especially if we're supposed to be tight. But Jen is no less, I mean, I guess she apologized, but you were quicker to forgive that than that. I don't get it. Jen is a means to an end, which is to even her friendship with Lisa Barlow and Whitney.
This whole sitch with Meredith is so interesting. Meredith, who's like educating the other women about the practicalities involved with the law, which thank God she's there to do it, honestly, for the benefit of all of us, by the way, too, not just the members of the cast, but like this whole innocent until proven guilty, which she has chosen to selectively utilize with Jen,
right,
and herself.
Of course.
With like the, I wasn't trying to do stuff on camera. I never specifically said the Lisa rumors involve sex. I just nodded. You know, like there is a way that she is trying to be careful within the construct of a very, very messy circumstance, which is interesting to me. But I do also, I am a Barho. So I'm like, I don't know about that. I'm just not good sure. Spoiler alert, I watch a lot of Bravo, and when I'm not watching Bravo, I'm sitting in the cloth having a moment of spiritual growth, and when that's not happening, I'm living here in New York where there is a lot to do and not a lot of time to do it. The last thing that I want to be thinking about, let alone worrying about, is my hair. Now, I have wavy hair naturally. It also has color processing, which is surprising because I am a spiritual blonde. And as a result, I don't want to have to worry about frizz. That's why I love Way's anti-frizz cream. It works for my hair texture. It works for having wavy hair. It smells great. There are notes of bergamot, Italian lemon. You guys know I just went to Italy. It was for moments like this. Violet and more. Having used a lot of products in my hair in the past, I don't like a heavy feeling, especially when you have wavy hair. That's incredibly important, which is why I love the anti-frizz cream. It makes my hair look like me, just a little bit better. Way's new anti-frizz cream provides immediate frizz control that lasts up to 72 hours. It helps reduce and repair split ends. And according to a consumer perception study, 90% of participants agreed that their hair looks less frizzy. And I would like to know what that consumer perception study has to say about some original cast members of The Real Housewives of New York. You'll be way obsessed with Way's bestsellers. They're leave-in conditioner, detox shampoo, hair oil, gloss, and so much more. Frizz-free up your schedule with Way. Go to theouai.com and enter promo code Andy for 15% off any product. That's theouai.com, promo code Andy. C'est bon, c'est bon. With Mother's Day around the corner, are you thinking about a truly special gift for your mom or a maternal figure in your life? Let me tell you about mylifeinabook.com. It's a unique service that turns your mom's life stories into a beautiful book. Pretty cool, right? Here's how it works. Every week, mylifeinabook.com will send her a question via email. These can be pre-written questions about her life or any custom questions you want to ask. Then she can either type up her response or record her voice. And MyLifeInABook.com compiles all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book. And guess what? They can even create an audiobook using her voice recordings. It's like preserving her voice and her stories for eternity. This book becomes a legacy, something you and future generations can treasure forever. Your mom's given you a lifetime of stories. This is your chance to give her a way to share them. I want to know about the stories of how my mom and dad grew up. What's the first thing they remember after they were born? That's one of the questions I sent to my dad after signing up for My Life in a Book. And I can't think of a greater gift to give my dad in sharing his stories and to receive. It's super easy to use. My favorite part of it, as someone who sometimes lives on turtle time and forgets about sending or receiving email, is that they reach out a couple days prior to sending questions. Just so I know of what questions they're going to send to my dad, if I want to change it for another question or customize it with something that I want to know. It's that kind of specificity and care that I love so much. This is genuinely an incredible, incredible gift. There's no greater present than I could give a family member or a loved one than to participate in this kind of meaningful appreciation for the entirety of their lives, separate from my own. Check out mylifeinabook.com and use code Andy's Girls at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom or loved one this Mother's Day. That's mylifeinabook.com. with code Andy's Girls for 10% off today. And thank the Jill Zarin and your life and mine.
Meredith's storyline is, I hate Lisa Barlow and I'm mad. Fine. I wish you would just own it. It sort of reminds me of, I know, Robin and Wendy. I'm like, Robin, you're just mad at Wendy from the reunion. That's it.
Okay, so I want to get your thoughts on Potomac. What do you think is taking place? What do you think is going on?
Robin, the last episode, okay. Robin, that was horrible. You don't like Wendy. You have been looking for a way to get at Wendy because you're mad at her from the reunion, which I guess you can't say. But the thing about with the children, I did not like that at all. You're not going to ask a mother of young children to send their kids by way of Auntie Candace, because I can't stand you for my poorly organized part day. Which Robin, you know, the thing with Robin, Robin's like, just show up. That's her vibe anyway. I get it. She's like, I'm tired. I got all these kids and I'm selling hats. I can't deal with this. But because don't they fight next week? I'm like, I just want them to get to the point where, like,
yeah, they're fighting. Robin, there's huge fights next week.
I'm mad at you. I've been mad at you. I would have actually, I mean, it's fine, but I would have, because I'm loving Potomac already this season, because they're all so good at it. I just wish Robin had come out the gate like Giselle. When Giselle was like, girl, don't hug me. We not good. I would have preferred that, because I actually thought the example that she gave, Wendy wasn't saying like, what did these two say at Karen's spring
taco party tequila? Renaissance.
Sure.
I don't know what it was.
Sure. I didn't think Wendy was actually giving that kind of energy. She just seemed clueless. Because I will say, Wendy doesn't seem to know her place on the show. First season, not to say you can't be all things. First season was all about the 4 degrees. Her second season, she's a baddie. This year, Peter Thomas. I'm concerned for her. Because when Peter Thomas, and I could tell, because I'm like, I like you and Eddie together, but I could see that look in his eye when she said $300,000 and Peter Thomas. And he was like, girl, I want people to be like, you just broke even with these candles. We just started making money from this. And you're trying to sink it. I think Wendy wants to make the most of the show, which is, they all do, but sometimes I wish she would just be more herself rather than just sort of the character of like it's great that you have 4 degrees and you're a pundit. I get it. You're a pundit that wants to party. You're in the DC area. Of course that makes sense. But what else is there beyond that? Because I will say this season so far, while I'm really enjoying it, you only saw Wendy but for like 2 seconds in the trailer for the season, and she was headed to the hospital. I guess I just want to know more about her outside of work. I did appreciate what she was saying about her hair loss and the stress. I know that happens to moms when it's particularly after the second children. I remember my sister, my mom, you know, told me about stuff like that. Nothing just to watch, but I think so far it's like every season it's kind of like a not a gimmick, but just there's a hook. And I kind of want to see more than what's just the hook. Like, I hope her whole season isn't wrapped around opening the club with Peter Thomas. I feel like that's gonna fall flat. If it's just beefing with Robin, I actually enjoy that more. Because apparently you just make the girls mad by showing up. That's interesting. But just Peter Thomas, whenever I see Peter Thomas, I get worried. And it's no shade to Peter, but it's just like, Peter's everywhere. I think I literally just saw him in a picture with another housewife on Instagram this weekend.
Oh, no.
He has done more with housewives than Cynthia ever did.
Oh, no, the Harry Dubin. The Harry Dubin, a little bit.
He is a Harry Dubin.
But, like, from a business perspective, you know? Harry was a little bit different.
Are you enjoying Dr. Wendy? Just, you know what I mean? Like, it's just...
I don't mean this as an insult. I really don't think of her.
Like, see?
Like, I appreciated the scene with her doctor talking about hair loss, being, hormonally how stress is impacting her physical body. I think that's important to see on TV. I'm appreciative for it. You know, as you're talking, I'm just thinking, like, who is Dr. Wendy? And I don't know that I considered before how much I don't know, because I think a lot of it, understandably so, has been like focused on her identity through the lens of like her mom and wanting to do a new path, not being seen as person X, really wanting to be seen as person Y. But now person Y is splintering off. So it's like, where are we? You know, you're obviously, you've made a choice to do reality TV. I think she's very effective at it. But like, where are we still finding ourselves outside of a business sense? You know, unless that's really truly how she identifies. But we should explore that. We should explore the divide there that exists.
Yeah, like I know her as she's proud of her Nigerian heritage. She's attached to the community, which what has been nice to see. I know she's a mom. I know her resume. I know her attributions. I know her ambitions. Who is she? Why is she wired that way? And maybe that comes out through most of the season. But it's just like it's like when you see her like, oh, hey, but you don't remember her being there that much. And the way, like, Mia is a mess, but she leaves an impact. And it's actually about her it's her personal story in the midst of, like, her business and, like, all of that. Like, I have a better sense of who Wendy is in one season than kind of Wendy over maybe 2 or 3. She was not in the trailer, and I was actually concerned for... Because I will say the first season, when all she talked about was her degrees, I did not care. When she got the body work done, I was like, you know what? I want to be a bad bitch too. I'm with you. I did like how she lit into Giselle. Mm-hmm. But maybe to the point where that relationship is... there's clearly no relationship. And I will say sometimes I think she wants to be successful on the show. But I do think... don't get me wrong, because Giselle is... entertaining but kind of evil. I love her daughters though. I miss her mom dragging her on TV. her mom was like, girl, I'm enough. But I think Wendy was getting hype about the audience, and she did a lot at the reunion to the point where now you can't really ever film with her. You can't film with her now. And now you can't film, well, I guess you will film with Robin next week, but y'all are beefing. You are close to Candace, but we haven't seen a lot of that either. You don't get along with Mia. And you and the Grand Dame are better, but that actually, y'all didn't start off on the best footing. Mm-hmm. And that kind of brought y'all together. Also, y'all both were annoyed with Giselle, who Karen is a little bit better with this season. Maybe she bonds with Cha-Cha, but it's sort of like she's over there. And I kind of like, come back. Like maybe the season gets better for her, but so far it's sort of like, it's not a bad season per se, but I still don't really know that much about her. And And a lot of her co-workers don't want to film with her right now or won't.
Yeah.
I'm a little worried about that part.
Yeah, and I think it shows the cracks in the foundation on Beverly Hills in what I think Salt Lake and Potomac are both doing, which is like showing the interpersonal dynamics, like really truly showing how these women feel about each other because they seem to be communicating it pretty honestly. And I watched the trailer for next week's episode, and obviously there's a huge amount of conflict between Candace and Ashley, but knowing that they seem to have been able to move forward in real time and really repair a lot of what has happened previously and what we're about to see go down makes me so interested in following their story, because obviously to me, it seems obvious, I could be wrong, both of these women have put in work, and yes, maybe they come closer together because other relationships are torn further apart. But it still to me is a sign of incredible progress,
yeah,
that on Potomac, you can have these women like spouse shaming each other and still find a way to move forward,
right,
and align in a way that to me doesn't feel so purely and mechanically like an alliance. It really feels like there's a sense of camaraderie here, yes, which is incredible. I think that's incredible.
The women on Potomac collectively seem more dedicated to the show itself and making sure it's good in a way that, not to say that, I mean, RBOH is the most successful one, but I think that isn't necessarily through the commitment of the Fox Sports whatever.
Totally.
They care more about themselves and how they look. Whereas I think they're like, we're on a show together. We try to make it work. Although I already want to say, unsurprisingly, I'm still team Candace when it comes to Ashley next week. Ashley is vindictive.
You don't think Candace is reactive.
Candace is reactive.
Isn't necessarily vindictive. Candace is reactive.
I think Ashley is vindictive. When she says, oh, it doesn't feel so good now, does it? Girl, you started first season or second coming at Robin about one. You have taken little digs at everybody this whole time. The only reason people talk about your husband is because he can't keep his hands to himself or his dick and embarrasses you. And you go around pointing out other people's stuff just for sport because you're messy, self-admitted. And all that shit she talked about, I mean, I like them getting along too. It was actually really nice and pleasant to see them eat together. However, she talked all that shit about Candace's mama buying her a house. You know what? I'd rather have my mama buy me a house than some predator, allegedly, who can't keep his hands to himself. And everyone was like, Ashley's a genius. She's like, it's the Elon Kanye treatment. Like, oh, she's just saying all these, she's a genius because she's playing the long game. Last week, when she was talking about Michael and that house, she didn't know what was going on. I was like, oh, girl, you in danger. You don't listen to Uncle Lump. I want Ashley to do well, leave a creepy man behind. But not only is she clearly still interested in him, she has no idea what's going on. She is not in control. Like, and I heard, she said, well, I realized that something was in the prenup was not what I thought it was. I was like, girl, you didn't even read that prenup. I was just like, you talked all this shit about Candace. I'm like, I'd rather have my mom handle my life than him. Y'all are both the same in that regard. Well, actually, I think they're different. I mean, Candace is inheriting her mom's wealth, and her mom is someone who did well for herself and wants her daughter to do well too. You married into this, which is perfectly fine, but like, Candace is more aware of her life situation without her mom than you are without Michael. But yeah, good luck talking stuff next week. That's why she's gonna get cussed out. I'm enjoying Ashley this season, that's it, but she is vindictive. I did not like, well, you know how it feels now. Girl, you have been talking shit since you've been here. Like, let's stop. You are the one that take these shots at everybody about their men. It's not like everybody pick on you.
In no way could Ashley ever compare Chris to Michael Darby. If she tried to do that, that would be such a wild take. But I also, like, I think a lot of people, myself included, are pretty fearful about Ashley's continuation of like partnered up investment practices with her estranged spouse without consulting an outside attorney, which I think for Ashley is like her version of estate planning, but yes, like a vasectomy isn't a part of planning an estate. And if you know that this man who's had a complicated relationship with the truth, reality, control, and just genuinely toxic behavior is now giving you maybe inaccurate information, you should not be buying that house. I don't care who's put a bid on it. You should be bidding on yourself. And that path, to me, I understand I'm not a lawyer, but neither is Ashley, and she's not asking one for advice.
No.
And there is a reason that when you get a divorce, you go through the court. And to continue that and add on potential contentious properties because you have a handshake deal with Michael, when has that hand ever done you right?
When has that hand ever done you right? That is beautiful. Yeah, I like, clearly it's a business arrangement with feelings. None of my business. But you clearly don't know much about your business. And after everything that man has put you through and the way you have embarrassingly defended his antics and predation on the staff of your show production, not only are you wild as hell for trying to go at Chris Bassett, knowing you have that going on, but just in your own, girl, listen to Uncle Lump, hire a lawyer. Like, I would genuinely hate for Ashley to go through all of that with that man on TV, no less, and not leave the marriage with as much as she deserves as a former spouse and mother of his children. It does not seem like without proper legal counsel that she's gonna get that, because he's not even on camera this season and he's still embarrassing you. He's still making you look crazy when you're supposed to finally now be in control, which is once again, which is what she get for talking shit about Candace's mama buying her house, because look at you now. Candace still got her own house by herself. And if her mom chipped in, whatever, the deed is in her name. Where are you living, Ashley? An LLC. Girl, he'll snatch that house right from you.
She keeps talking about how great Michael is at business. And I'm like, okay, but you're not a business partner. This is attached to business, the business of being married. But how was he as a spouse? Because how is he treating you now? We're all trusting because he's great at business and maybe great at finances and investments or whatever, that he's not going to treat you like shit because you birthed his kids. How has that ever stopped him from disrespecting you before? We're pretending that your breakup is going to go better than your marriage. What would make you think that would be right? Because you're standing up for yourself. Like, why would you think he would like that? Like, why are we expecting that Michael Darby is going to be a better ex-husband than he is spouse?
She needs legal counsel, at least 3 Mary J. Blige albums. Once a few Summer Walker playlists I will make for her, and some direction, because this is not going to end well for her unless it gets better towards like in the coming weeks. It don't look good for the girl. He's not going to do right by her. He never has. It's just so good. Great season so far. Well, I'm team Candace still. I just feel like she's still vindictive. That's all my thing. I'm like, you just want to stick one in her eye because Ashley can't help herself. Meanwhile, she need to be listening to Uncle Lump. Just leave it at that.
Oh my God, we all need an Uncle Lump, don't honestly. We should be so lucky. And Candace, the thing with Candace is like, listen, you know how I feel about Candace. We've talked about it. I'm never going to be a Bassett hound. She is going to remain blocked for now. But my God, if she doesn't have some valid points this season, and I really cannot blame her for some of her reactions and responses, because there's a lot coming at her, and I am thankful that she's seeing what's taking place. You know, like, I'm thankful she's catching the ball.
I feel like it's her redemption season, although I don't necessarily know. Well, in some respects, she did need some redemption. I think some of that's a little overstated, but that's my...
Mm-hmm. I get it.
But Giselle, because in that Monique situation, I just did not side with the Monique of it all, but okay. Mm-hmm. What Giselle and Ashley are doing, well, mostly Giselle, I'm with Candace. And I don't necessarily, if I felt Candace was wrong, I would say something, but I just think, not to invalidate Giselle's feelings, it's not that Giselle does not have a right to feel uncomfortable.
Yes.
I just think I'm Karen's face in real time listening to Giselle speak. Well, aren't you all friends? Did you communicate that to him at all? You probably shouldn't have started it with on camera. Giselle, there was a glow in her eye when she was explaining it. And Candace immediately clocked that. And I have to say, already my moment of the season is Candace looking directly into the camera and saying, y'all got me. She was over it. I actually love that. And I do love that she's not just, I was like, you didn't say hi to me. Girl, we're not, we don't all share that sociopathic sense of humor, withdrawn flair from jokes that she has, but you can't say that about somebody's husband in that way on camera with someone you're supposed to be cool with and assume that they're going to smile at you next week. It's the same, it's almost, I still, and I finally listened to Reasonably Shady.
I haven't listened to it. Is it, how do you like it?
They're not my favorites, but it's fun, actually. Okay. It worked, actually. Giselle is just, I think Giselle is good TV, oh, but I don't need to hear
it. I want to listen. I want to listen to it.
I will say the episode I listened to about BravoCon, it was cute for my hike. It was cute for my hike. They helped me get up the hill. All right.
Love it.
But I just think Giselle, it reminds me when she, it's actually worse, but when she wore that shirt about Ray's tax problems, the reason I brought it was on the podcast, she was talking about the fans. She was happy that someone actually wore this t-shirt about mocking Ray's taxes and all of that. And I'm like, girl, you're lucky Karen still talks to you. Oh, how do we feel about Charisse coming back?
Don't know how I feel about it. I don't understand what Charisse is about to reveal, but something is about to happen. I'm not against it. I don't know how I feel about Charisse, but I'm honestly not against it. And I love when an OG with genuine relationships and stakes returns. I do typically support that.
I don't think most people care.
Yeah, that's tough. That's tough.
I don't have anything against Charisse. I actually like the name Cha-Cha. I do get Cha-Cha's... I get the underlying beef is that... From my understanding, the show was she was the nucleus. She was supposed to be the grand dame. She was the one with the money, the residence.
She had the champagne room.
She had all the connections. She clearly still knows all of those people. She's always in the mix. So she does feel like, I'm not project, but she was pushed out. Mm. However, Karen Huger is just an amazing character. Mm-hmm. It's hard to compete. I'm actually really trying to remember when did Charisse leave.
Wasn't it after the... Oh my God. Wasn't it... What season are we on now?
7. She left at the second or third?
I was going to say second, but I don't know that... Now I've completely lost my bearings. I have no idea. Because she has popped up before.
She has. And sometimes they even credit her. I would say she is consistent. So I'm getting back on this. That's when you know you really have money. She's like, you know what? I'm rich. I don't need to... I just want to be here. Remember me? Hi. I'm waiting to see what, did you see the clip of Karen Huger responding to Giselle's interview with Carlos King? She was like, I don't fuck with her. I want to know whatever gets us to that moment, because that was amazing. Mm-hmm. But if Cha-Cha is only there to antagonize Kern without kind of reminding us that she was supposed to be that person of Potomac, I feel like this will be a little bit for naught.
That's a great point.
Because I wasn't excited when they announced her back, but I wasn't as like repelled as some of the audience was. Because I actually don't remember what maybe turned her off from people, because she's been gone forever.
Same.
But I hope she makes more of this than just being kind of like a pain in Karen's ass. Although that was funny watching Karen just leave.
You know what? It was giving a little Marlo Nini energy.
Remember it was very
when they
bad.
Did that, when they had like, it was like a family. Oh yeah, that was like a family style moment, game day. And Nini just like walked out, and it's like, I don't know how interesting it is for all of us to just see Marlo calling after her.
Yeah.
Because Nini's the story here, you know?
It can't be just that. Clearly, I guess they'll get into it soon, but I hope Cha-Cha is doing more than just that, because because I see Robin is trying to, also bless Robin's heart. Every time she comes for Karen, she gets swatted back to earth. I don't think Robin is funny. And if there's anyone on the show that actually it's not the only one. Robin gives us some looks every now and then. I actually love the confessional, good for the hair, certain things. Like she brings that, but other than that, I love Juan.
See, I love Rob. I love Robin more than I love Juan. I know a lot of people love Juan, and I think that's a great journey for y'all, and you have much better taste than I do. But like, I really and I have to say, shout out to Robin. I talked about this on a Patreon BravoCon special app, but like, Robin was giving superstar at the Potomac.
I believe that. I think she's a good housewife. I'm not like anti-Robin. I think it's in her business literally to continue being friends with Giselle. And I heard Giselle in Carlos King's interview where she says, Robin has disagreed with me before, you all just haven't seen it. Mm-hmm. I'm glad we're seeing more of that from Robin, because mm-hmm. while I do think I can see Robin giving us superstar in person, she's very pretty, gives us a good look. She is funny, but it's not always giving on the show. And so it's nice to see her have more of a point of view, I guess, outside of Giselle. I guess I'm just associated so much with Giselle. And I really, again, Giselle is good TV, but I don't need it. She's like a mean first lady that went secular. That is exactly what her give is. I'm not a big fan of Jamal Bryan either. They had that one.
I'm giving a face.
Yes, there's one literally viral clip going around this week where he's breaking down Herschel Walker, but I still remember.
Which I reposted.
No, it's fine. Sorry, I don't think people know. This is me from writing so many years. I remember when Jamal Bryant used to talk about, he quoted Chris Brown once, "These hoes ain't loyal in a pew," and he once talked about sanctified sissies. That was well over a decade ago. So maybe his, he's in Atlanta of all places now, so I can't imagine him being that anti-gay in that space for a black church. But I've never been as impressed. I would just say he's a really good performer, but that said, like, that's the type, like, if she's anybody's first lady, it would have been him. Somebody who's mean and who fuck around, respectfully. I'm never gonna like me for that.
Oh my God.
I'm sorry, maybe he apologized for the homophobia, but I didn't forget.
I have no idea.
The sexism, I didn't forget. One speech has not fooled me. And he also took over the church of like Eddie Long, or like a disgraced pastor. So they would have taken anybody at that moment. But maybe he's changed. God forgive. Sometimes I don't like Rick Ross. We're working on it. But I just want—I don't know how we got there.
I don't know anything about that history. I don't know anything about that history, which is important.
Yeah, I just. With that said, I'm happy Robin is not as underneath Giselle as presented the past few seasons. It's just because that's also makes her more interesting, because she clearly is not about to marry Juan anytime soon. And watching her pretend that she's about to is kind of like, all right, girl, what else is going on? Because I saw her watch What Happens Live. Andy asked her, and he's like, you'll find out. No, you won't. You don't say it on the show. I actually hollered when Andy said that. I'm sorry. Do you want to marry him or not? I hope that's at least answered by the end of the season. Because it's been mostly Robin and Juan carrying her a bit and getting out of debt and selling hats, all that. But, you know, I will give Giselle a lot. She's at least done more.
You know what? We don't actually have a reason why they haven't set a date, right?
Yeah, it. I'm like, and she when she talks about, she they ask her about it, she kind of essentially said, yeah, well, we would like to be married. And it was sort of like, we'd like to be married. I'm assuming it helps with they raise children, school, like those things make sense. I get that. But she didn't seem excited about getting married. She's talked about it, but maybe outside of Juan, I would love to know more about what is the real hesitation. And maybe she doesn't know, or maybe she's working through it. Maybe she's not willing to share. I do think Robin is interesting. I just think sometimes it's very like surface. I mean, don't get me wrong, like it's not surface, she's showing it, but I just think like, are you gonna marry him or not? Because I mean, it doesn't take that long to get married. Y'all got out of the debt, y'all got a new house. Y'all could go to the courthouse. You said it doesn't matter. So why don't you want to get married? Because the fact that he even asks, I'm like, how many years has it been? It's been a long time.
It has been a while.
And just fight with Wendy, not enough.
The fight with Wendy is enough, but I do really appreciate, you know, a lot of people have been asking, certainly on social media, like, is this the end of Robin and Giselle? And someone posed that question on Watch What Happens. And I, having enjoyed the Green Eyed Bandits, I appreciated her response, which was essentially like, absolutely not. Like, I can disagree with my friend, which we are seeing now on camera, and still be a friend. Maybe it could even potentially bring them closer to see the way that Robin is standing up for herself. Like, there is a respect there that I think a lot of people are feeling and appreciate about seeing Robin as a counter to Giselle's opinion over, you know, something so serious as this. I appreciate the fact that we're seeing friends disagree and continue to be friends with each other. I think that's almost rare on Housewives at this point.
Yeah, like I like that they come in pair. They can stay a pair. I actually wouldn't want to. I mean, it doesn't matter. I don't want to see them beef. I like their friendship. It's fine. But Robin, tell me why you really don't want to marry Juan. And can you finally just admit that you don't like Karen and just have it out with her? She has issues with Karen too. That's another thing. I'm like, you don't like Karen. You take shots at her whenever you get.
Why is that?
I don't know, because it was the real grand dame dig. She has these little digs for Karen consistently, and then Karen just swats it down. But I'm just very curious, like, what is that? Do you think Karen is fake? Do you think she's just too much ego? Do you just not believe her? Clearly, they want to hear more about stories about Blue Eyes and whoever, or all these people. But it's something there, and I'm curious to see what that is. Because they don't really gel. And she doesn't seem to want to let it go. And I feel like Charisse is a little bit of a proxy for that.
Yes.
But why don't you do it directly? Probably because she can't handle it. But
Well, in some ways, you could argue that Robin is a proxy for Giselle. Like, that's where it began. And then Charisse maybe is a proxy for Robin, which is a fascinating cycle when on the other side of it, it's just Karen. Robin, Karen. Giselle, and Charisse, and then just Karen. And Karen seems to be doing quite well at being just Karen.
And the fact that she handles them all is exactly why she became the grand dame. Even if it was Charisse's connections and money that was the start of the show, Karen's the one that's been, I mean, they all literally all put in a great amount of work on the show, but there's a reason why people look to Karen as that and not them. They may need to work that out instead of just like hating, but I'm a grand dame stem. I actually need to get a 3-wick candle. maybe some La Dame.
Oh my God, maybe some La Dame. Listen, I could talk to you all day. This has been so delightful. I feel like I have been healed as a result of this conversation and episode. I cannot thank you enough for coming back on and always making me laugh and think. And I appreciate the fact that we really do have different opinions and perspectives about the Housewives, because as you return to AG, it's interesting to hear how from both of us they may have stayed the same or evolved. Like, yeah. I think that's kind of an exciting thing to have, like the history of episodes. It's great to continue to have these conversations and grow as a result of them. You know, I think that's fun.
I'm always happy to be here. I'm sorry it's been so long. And also, I hope, like Kathy, that I'm in a better place with Kyle in the next year. I'm just very disappointed. Never disappointed with you, though, or being here. I always hope I sound coherent.
You always do more than enough. And I, you know, prayers up to Kyle, you know, as she is in my top five. But Teddy's not helping us, I would say. Teddy helps no one, starting with herself. Listen, Michael Arsenault, where can people buy your books? Can you tell us a little bit more about the incredible, I know at least one of them is on display each and every day in the cloth.
On display. Also, I'm already Team Teresa.
Oh, you can't. That is to be continued. You're coming back ASAP. You can't just drop that into conversation and be like, okay, you can follow me at... What a way to get a season pickup. Michael Arsenault, tell the AGs about what you have written and what you're interested in writing and any projects you're working on and how to follow you online.
My first book, I Can't Date Jesus, Love, Sex, Race, and Other Reasons I Put My Faith in Beyonce, is available wherever books are sold. You know, it'll probably be illegal to be a gay writer or gay in like 2 years with the Supreme Court, so please support. My second book, I Don't Want to Die Poor, is still out, and I am finishing my third. I finally bought some Jordans. Was supposed to come out in spring, but I'm actually being given a little more time to work on it, which is great. And I'm crawling my way out of TV development. I Well, let's just another prayer for that. Cal and Kathy, me crawling out. Because if I don't get to do scripted, I might just end up yelling at people like Kathy allegedly did if I don't get my conga line.
We need to make sure you get your conga line. We need to make sure that that happens.
Even though the name doesn't apply anymore, I'm Young, S-I-N-I-C-K. Twitter probably might not be here in like 2 weeks. We'll see. But you can find me on Instagram. You're not missing anything on Twitter. And I'm not paying $20 for a check, blue check, grow up.
Can you even believe? I hope that Instagram is not listening. I mean, Instagram fucked up today. So like, what are we even talking about? But I am, let's not get into the process of someone handing over money to verify their voice. I don't think that's going to help us with hashtag fake news and everything else.
Right. Like, I write for a living, so I'm clearly not, you know, the wisest with money, but I wouldn't pay $44 billion on Twitter.
Yeah, I just can't imagine. I can't imagine writing that checks. LOL that checks are still a thing, but you know what I'm saying. Guys, speaking of things to talk about, Andy's Girls Patreon, number one way to support the pod. You get exclusive bonus episodes and so much more. There is a Satchel Spectacular up now with a lot of your thoughts and feels. Satchels of Gold are your thoughts and feels, questions and concerns about all things Housewives and more, named in honor of Her Holiness, Kelly Cloran Ben-Simone from Scary Island. So there is a bonus episode Satchel Spectacular up now, which you can access while supporting the pod at patreon.com/andyscrolls. Follow me on Instagram alone at Dame Galley. And I just want to shout out Rockin' the Vote. Midterms are coming up November 8th. I'm a New York City resident. The governor's campaign is very close. It is scarily close for those of us in New York. And there are a lot of incredibly, incredibly important elections coming up, both the ones that we mentioned earlier in the pod and more. So I'm a big fan of rockthevote.org, which is the most trusted and effective nonpartisan nonprofit dedicated to building the political power of young people. And as someone who is in her hashtag spiritual mid-20s plus, I'm a big fan of finding out information about where I can vote early, where I should go vote, and any questions that I have. Inform yourselves now. And if you can vote early, that's always a plus. So guys, let's make sure that we are getting out the vote. Midterms coming up. You could vote potentially today if you wanted. Go to rockthevote.org for more information so that we're not just using our voices to talk housewives. There's some other stuff going on. We want to support getting out the vote. Are you planning to vote in the midterms?
Yes, I'm waiting for my absentee ballot now. Please vote. Please save me. save yourselves.
I'm going to co-sign that. On that note, guys, thank you so much for listening, and we will talk to you soon. Bye-bye.